Hello, and thanks for tuning in to another verse-by-verse installment of the Ministry of the Washing Word. As you know, the Washing Word is hand car washing business located in Church Hill on Highway 11W in the Palace Shopping Center. And there we have a hand car washing business. And from there, not only do we wash cars, but we broadcast these verse-by-verse Bible teachings. You can come by anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And if you are in the parking lot area of the Washing Word, whether we're open or not, or whether you're getting your car washed or not, you can tune to 107.1 FM and hear verse-by-verse, solid biblical Bible teaching. And this is why we created the Washing Word. So come on by, tune to 107.1 FM. It could be 3 o'clock in the morning or 6 o'clock at night on a Tuesday. We all know that life is hard, and it's difficult, and there are times where we just need to hear a word from God. And you're not always going to find a church service open or a message that's coming straight from the Bible. And so that's why we do verse by verse. We believe the whole counsel of God's word is vitally important to the health of the church and of the Christian believer. So once again, come on by the Washing Word anytime, 107.1 FM while you're in the parking lot. And of course, you can go to our website at washingword.com. We can you can download and listen to for free any of the archived messages. If you have any questions, just come on by the Washing Word or give us a call at 423-920-0913. Finally, I'd like to invite you out to the Abundant Life Fellowship. That's our church at 415 Old Union Road. I preach verse by verse there on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. So come on out. We'll see you there. All right, let's get back into it. We're in the book of 1 John, and we're going through a section in chapter 2. Well, we really just kind of finished it up where, to be honest, John was being pretty blunt and pretty straightforward. And you know what? I'm glad, because too many people nowadays are dancing around what is a perfectly clear scripture. That is, if the Bible says something and it's very clear, you know, let's not try to make it say something else to fit our current needs or maybe our current sinful condition. If the Bible says something that's clear, for instance, verse 9 that we read last week in chapter 2 of 1 John, if anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother, he's still in the darkness. Or how about, we all know that we've come to obey him we all come to know him if we obey his commands. The man that says, I know him, but does not do what he says is a liar. How about verse 8 in chapter 1? If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And on through the first chapter and a half of 1 John, he's been very straightforward and blunt about everything that we would need to know about our relationship and our standing with God. So let's not be deceived. Let's not deceive ourselves. And let's obey what we read and what we hear in the Bible. So that's where we're going to pick it up here in chapter 2 of 1 John and verse 15. Now, we left off in verse 14 in the second chapter, and I suspect that the next two verses I'm about to read are going to cover two or three of these 15-minute teachings, because there's a lot to unpack, and the content of these two verses is vitally important. Thus far, John has been speaking a lot about sin, and therefore, so have I, and because that's what you do when you do verse by verse. You speak about what the author is speaking about. So we've been talking a lot about sin lately, and I know it's an uncomfortable subject, but that's just the way it goes. So John is going to move on now from not just talking about sin in our lives, but he's going to start talking about the source of that sin. Where does it come from? What are its sources? You know, what are sin's weapons, and how and why does it work so well? And the last thing we looked at in our prior message was the stages of maturity for the Christian saint. And that is what we call sanctification. And that's the ultimate goal, you know, growing up and growing in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So we want to be moving on from milk to meat and get out of the kiddie pool or the shallow end and start swimming in the deep end. We want to get out of the fans as being spectators in the kingdom of heaven on earth to being a player in the field. And so one of the most profound and often overused verses in the Bible is verse 15 through 17 here in 1 John chapter 2, where he says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of the sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has done, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." All right, we're going to stop there because in order to beat your enemy, whether you're in a war or you're on a football field or playing a game of chess, to beat your enemy, you must understand your enemy's strategy. And John has just opened up, he's just exposed the enemy's greatest ability and the enemy's greatest weapons and source of, dare I say, all sin. And so this is what we're going to talk about in the beginning here, and that is the love of the world. Now, you might be a devoted Christian, been going to your church for 30, 40 years and say, "I don't love the world. I'm just passing through. I love God. I love Jesus. I love the thought of heaven, eternal life. I love the kingdom." The thing is, we may just very well love our lives and love this world a whole lot more than we know, or that we care to admit, or that we even want to admit. And this verse has been used by conservative Christians to denounce everything from music to money to dancing and driving to TV on Sundays to ice cream Sundays. And they take these verses and say, well, you know, this here, the lust of the eyes and the boasting of what he's done and the cravings of sinful nature. And look, we could make everything evil, pretty much, and we could try, and we could make everything good. You can't trust the human mind and its ability to justify the behavior that we're currently doing. It's a lie. It's a rational lie, which is what we do. We rationalize. And when we rationalize our behavior, we're just taking and making a rational lie. And so the Gnostic audience that John was contending with here, and remember, we talked about Gnosticism in the first chapter, and that is that they hold the belief that the world and everything in the world is evil. Therefore, the spiritual realm and everything within the spiritual realm or attached to the spirit was good. And the Gnosticism thinking said, and neither the two come to meet. That never the two come together. They are completely separate. And of course, this style of thinking is great if you want to just continue in your sin and never have repercussions or a conscience about it. So in a very anti-Gnostic style, John, he denounces the world with very strong flavor. But if we look closer, we see that it is a two-part admonition. He says, love not the world and love not the things of the world. And I always thought that was kind of interesting that he put it that way. Well, if we ever get to that place where we don't love the world, well, then doesn't that mean we don't love the things of the world as well? I mean, if I asked you as a strong believer, do you love the world? You're going to tell me no. No, I don't. I don't love this world. I hate the things of this world. I can't wait for my next world, my new body. And that's great. And I believe you. And I believe myself when I say that. But then I might say, well, wait a minute. You know, if I'm talking about myself, I can denounce this world and say, yeah, I don't love this world. In fact, I hate this world, and I'm looking forward to the next one. But then I remember how much I love to go hiking, how much I love to go off into the mountains and just take in the beauty of nature. I love to sit by a creek and just listen to the water run by. Living in Florida, I loved a good Florida sunset and how it made the sky just light up like fireworks sometimes. Who doesn't like to watch the sun rise off the horizon of the ocean? I love these things. You love these things. You love the different parts of this world. But see, John isn't talking about the natural world. You know, God gave us a world that was perfect once, though sin destroyed the world and created thorns in all of its accompaniment. The world is still a beautiful place. God created a beautiful planet, and while we are destroying it, no doubt, there is still much beauty to be found. But see, this isn't what John is talking about. He says, don't love the world. That doesn't mean you have to stop doing the things that you love in the world. It's a general term for the world that he's talking about. He's not exhorting us to not love the world or not love people, especially the unloving, uncaring, and those who are the hardest to love. Because obviously, God doesn't want us to be like that. John 3:16 is perfect proof. So what then? What is he talking about? Well, let's look at what John wrote elsewhere as he recalls the words of the Lord. In the Gospel of John, verse 15, 18 and 19, he said, "If the world hates you," speaking about Jesus, "keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. But as it is," listen, "you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. And that is why the world hates you." You see, this world hated Jesus. But the world that hated Jesus might surprise you. Because who was it that hated Jesus? Was it the secularists, the naturalists, the ungodly, the pagans? I mean, a little bit, but most of the pagan and ungodly world actually tolerated Jesus. It was mostly the pious religious world that hated him most. And that's because they were seeking recognition of men over that of recognition from God. And while the religious world was Jesus's most prominent enemy, we will focus on the other world, and that is the one that leads people astray. So as we wind down our teaching for today, remember this. It is not things or people that lead us into sin, but rather it is the philosophy and the idea that lead people into sin. Let me repeat that for you. It is not things or people that lead us into sin, but rather it is philosophy and idea that lead us into sin. And we're going to look at what we call the three punches of Satan over the next few teachings. And just as kryptonite only works on Superman, the weapons or the punches of Satan will have little or no effect on someone who has distanced themselves from the world, from the draw of the world. If we disconnect ourselves from the love of this world, the devil's three major weapons will have little or no effect on us. Why? Because his weapons only work in the natural. They only work on those whose minds are set on earthly things, not on heavenly things. So that's where we'll pick it up in our next teaching. I hope you continue to come back. If you miss any of these teachings, remember you can go to washandword.com and click on the media tab, and you can listen to the older archived messages there. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. Don't forget, when you're in the parking lot area of the Wash and Word, come by and get your car washed. This is how you can support verse-by-verse Bible teaching. We use the money that we earn to support this ministry. And if you'd like to hear live verse-by-verse Bible teaching, I invite you out to Abundant Life Fellowship Sunday nights at 6 p.m. We're over on 415 Old Union Road in Churchill. Other than that, hope to see you at the Washer Word. Remember, if you're in the parking lot, tune to 107.1 FM, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to hear a message from God. Have a blessed day.